You're listening to the Jewel City Podcast. You can join us in person Sundays at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. We have something for all people and all ages. Or join our live stream at 10 a.m. In this podcast, we'll hear a message from Pastor Robert.
Today, I want to share with you, last week I spoke about failure. I'm kind of in this season of my life wanting to grow people and grow families. And it was kind of funny this week. This isn't funny, but I had three funerals, and they were all three in Fairmont. And the one funeral home I went to, when I parked my car and I walked inside, the undertaker met me at the front door, and I've done many funerals there, and he grabbed me by the arm. He said, "Are you okay, Pastor? Can I help you?" And I said, "Man, I'm fine. What's the problem here?" And I said, "I'm 62. I'm not 102. And he said, "You know, I watch you every Sunday on TV, and I was watching you a couple weeks ago, and you were sitting on a stool, and I told the staff something must be wrong with Pastor Robert." And once in a while, I like to sit when I feel like I'm in more of a teaching mode. And maybe with the things that's going on in my life, maybe I do need some help. And the guys were standing there looking at me. Lord God, just bless your holy name, God. And Father, we ask you to bless this time of giving. So God, just bless those that can give and those that cannot, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, guys, and bless. Take up the offering. It's been a crazy week with three funerals and just a lot preparing for the message today. And sometimes when you have a lot on your mind, you do crazy things. Anybody do anything stupid this week besides me? Anybody at all? Huh? It started off, I have a diesel truck. And if you're not familiar with the new diesel trucks, there's an area that you put DEF. It helps the climate change, praise God. And I put DEF in my diesel side. And let me tell you how that worked out for me. I made it about a mile from the house, and a tow truck had to come. So anyhow, that happened. Then I fell down Pastor Carrie's steps and Eric's steps this week. I went up to talk to Carrie, and I do not know what happened. I was coming down the steps, and I don't know if I was kind of like, I just don't know. All I know is the next thing I ended up at the bottom, and my knees were all tore up. My hip was out of place. My shoulder, my neck was stowed. And how could it get any worse? Well, I busted my head wide open, and I'm on two blood thinners, and blood was squirting, and I ran to the house holding my head Friday night, and Leanne started, she was starting like getting all wound up, you know, and I said, "Don't panic. I don't need panic. I need help." And so anyhow, Lexi ran down to the store and got, I never heard of this before, liquid Band-Aid, and it was $24. Can you believe that? And that about sent me over the edge right there. And somebody told me it's just the same as super glue. So next time I'll super glue my head, right? Amen. But other than that, I've had a great week. Praise God. Amen. So in this season of life, I really want to grow people, and I want to grow families. And as I said last week, I preached on failure. Failure comes to us all. And I spent some time with a man this week that was ready to give up, he said, on his business, and things were tough. And he said, "Man, I came in and you preached that message." And he said, "I left and got in a car and I said, I'm not quitting. And so today, there seems to be a desire in my spirit to share with you out of Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. Stand with me if you're able for the reading, out of reverence. For the reading of the Word of God. This is written by the prophet Isaiah. And what I found is it is written, theologians believe, toward the end of his life. So that tells me that he has, how many understand that the older we get, the more wisdom we have. And we gain them wisdoms through trials and through storms and through mistakes, through failures. So this is written somewhere close to the end of his life, that's predicted. And it's also written somewhere around 681 years before Christ. So the title of the message Failure last week, that's an obstacle on this journey of life. There's all kind of obstacles. It kind of, in my mind, I visualize going down a nice highway and there's speed bumps. You know, I think about it here in Mosby Cove because some of you drive like blooming idiots. But I hate to spend money, us to spend money to mess up a $700,000 road. You know, that's what a speed bump does. And if we're not careful, these speed bumps in life will derail us. And so this is captivity of where God wants us to be in our life. He doesn't want us to be held captive by failure, or this week the title is called Captivity of Pride. Let's read, and this affects every one of us in this room. Whether you believe you have pride or not, you do. I promise you, you do. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. We just sang about him. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your life-changing word. God, I pray that every heart here today would be open and every ear would be open and attentive to receive what you have for us, God. That we would be growing in your presence through your word, God. And God, we would experience a greater life because of it. Help us to grow, God, individually, corporately. God, help us to grow in our families, God. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You may be seated. The Lord issues a very straightforward warning to the prideful here in verse 15. The prideful must, you got to remember that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at the same time. How amazing is that? And we need to remember who God is and who we are. And we are nothing outside of God. God created us, the Bible said, from the dust of the ground. And he breathed his breath into us. And we became a living soul. Amen. So pride separates us from God. And God convicts the hearts of the prideful. So let God convict our hearts today, and don't neglect this message and say, wow, this is for somebody else. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is for you. All right. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. And I don't think I gave this to the media team, but they're pretty quick. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So how do we glorify God? And I really believe that all of us, believers in Christ, we want to glorify God. Well, in simple terms, God is glorified in anyone who through he is allowed to be glorified through. If we will die to ourselves, step aside and let God be glorified in us and through us, God will exalt us every time. If you believe that, give God a hand clap of praise this morning. So how can we be assured that we are living a God-glorifying life? It's by adopting a God-glorifying attitude. Just one more time, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, change your attitude. Look at your other neighbor, the one that looks miserable right now, and say, neighbor, I think you need an attitude adjustment. Is it all right to laugh in the house of God? I don't want to go anywhere that's boring. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8. It illustrates an attitude through that God will be glorified. In verse 8, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. Listen to this. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee, thy name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Kings and kingdoms, they will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Give his name a hand clap and a shout of praise. Amen. So that verse is your name and renown are the desires of our hearts. What is the desire of your heart, honestly? What a picture. Here is Isaiah in the middle of everything that's going on in his life and everything in his world at that time. And he more or less says, I'm waiting on you. It's a picture of trusting God. And then he says, I have a desire in my soul. And what's the desire that he's speaking about? He said, it's your name. And it's the remembrance of your name and who you are. God will show himself great and mighty in those whose heart's desire is his name to be magnified, to be glorified. It means to honor. The word renown means to honor, means to show authority, respect the authority. In Isaiah 43 and 7, even everyone that is called by my name, listen to this, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Why have I been created? Why have you been created? It's for his glory. That everything that we say and everything that we do would bring glory to our majesty, to the King, to God Almighty. Amen? Somebody say amen. So God will show himself approved. If we ever understand truly that we have nothing on this planet, we own nothing. God says that he owns it all, everything. And everything that we have, Linda, God has allowed us to manage that. And at the end of this journey, these three funerals this week, there was nothing that they took with them except for what they laid up in heaven for the glory that they brought God. You came into this world naked and you will leave this world naked. You and I are not as important as we think we are. The world will continue without us. We are valuable. We are so, don't misunderstand me. We are so valuable that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us, but we are not irreplaceable. We will not be here forever. We will be somewhere forever because of the blood of Jesus. We will be in heaven with God for eternity. Give God a hand clap and a shout of praise. According to this verse, we are called to allow the King of all creation to reveal himself through us. So you ask yourself this morning, how do I score? How good of a job are you doing in bringing glory to God? You see, God will not share his glory with another, not even his children. And that's what we are as believers. The Bible teaches us we are the sons and daughters of God. But God will not share his glory even with his children. It's not because he's egotistical. It's because he is more concerned about the eternal treasures of his sons and daughters. The Word of God said, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, 19 and 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where are your thoughts today? What do you think a lot about? Are your thoughts on earth or are your thoughts on heaven? Again, it's a process. It's a journey. And I know that the older I get, the more I think less about the earthly things and think more about the eternal things that will last forever. And I encourage, my wife whispered to me this morning, she said, look at all the young people, 20, 22, 25. Listen, don't wait till you're 62 to try to figure things out. Get in the Word of God now and start identifying the obstacles that the enemy wants to put in your life to keep you back from the destiny that God has for you. Because on this journey, there's boulders, and on the other side of the boulders is the promises of God and the divine nature of God and where God wants you to be. God don't want you to be held captive behind pride or failure or anything else. God's got something beautiful for each one of us. On the other side of the obstacle, don't stay in captivity. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Has anybody been lifted from the burdens and the obstacles in your life and been freed by Jesus? Give him a hand clap and a shout of praise. Woo! Christ's concern in this scripture in Matthew is that we guard our hearts against centering our lives around homes and furnishings and cars and lands and titles and stocks and positions, and nothing wrong with any of those things. But when we begin to worship those and we forget about, we want to worship the blessing and forget about the blesser. My goodness. Everything that we have, God has blessed us with, so we ought to use what God allows us to enjoy, to glorify, and to magnify His holy name. Has God been good to anybody in the house? Did anybody sleep in a bed last night? Sleep under a roof? Drive a car with air conditioning? Got a stereo? And got clothes on your back and shoes on your feet? Is there anybody in the house that could just give God some glory and say, God, you've been good to me. God, you've been faithful to me. Hallelujah. 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 Nothing on earth is secure. Nothing. Nothing on earth is lasting. Focus on your heavenly riches. You hear me? See, it won't be long, man. I'm telling you. Three funerals this week, and I told them all, their loved ones, it won't be long. It won't be long. You'll be together again. This is so, it just life had gone by. I think it was Leanne this morning, or maybe it was last night, said, you believe we're almost at Memorial Day weekend? I mean, we just took down our Christmas tree, it seems like. Yours is still up. Jesus always did wonder about her. Amen. Listen, God's call, He's calling us to overcome the overwhelming but also natural temptation of wanting to seek our own glory. It's natural. All of us, it's natural. Don't think for a second I don't want to hear somebody say, man, preacher, you brought it home today. Great message. Don't act like I'm the only one. We all want it, but you got to know what to do with it. You got to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I couldn't do this without you. And Lord, I understand where the anointing comes from. I understand where the presence comes from, God. It's you. Amen. So what do you think would be the biggest obstacle to glorifying God? I think it might be pride. Pride. It was an English poet, Alexander Pope, called it, speaking about pride, the never-failing voice of fools. the never-failing voice of fools. Pride is a destroyer. It'll destroy a ministry. It'll destroy a marriage. Pride will destroy friendships, jobs, character. I could go on and on and on and on and on. And God will be most readily seen through those who desire His fame above else. Do you think for a second when we die that when the trumpets sound and the gate opens and God stands there and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the Reverend Pastor Robert Singleton." You think that's going to happen? Huh? "Ladies and gentlemen, stand to your feet. Here comes Dr. Dino." Huh? I don't think so. "Welcome home, my good and faithful servant, son or daughter." I don't think God's too interested in all of our accolades. Amen. Pride, a destroyer. Sounds like it'd be something simple to overcome, but it's not. It's not. It's not. To fulfill our God-given destinies, to allow the King of all creation, to show Himself through us, we must overcome the temptation of seeking our own glory by desiring His instead. Let me tell you, this hit home with me, okay? God-given destinies. God's got a destiny for all of us. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Pride will prevent you from that expected end. Each one of us here, we got to recognize the captivity of a pride and allow it to free us. Listen, God commands to give Him glory. He commands us to give Him glory. And he says this without not giving us a warning. So I want you to feel the weight of Jeremiah's words. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 16. "Give glory to the Lord your God." Listen to this. "Before He causes darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, He turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness." In verse 17, God went on to warn the captivity that captivity would come to His people due to pride if they did not listen to Him. Captivity. Verse 17, "But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eye shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive." Wow. Because of your pride, the Lord's flock, that's us, will be taken captive. There was a man at the altar this morning worshiping God. And the man had a serious addiction. And I've watched him over the last couple years. And pride could have kept him in that addiction. But he's overcome that pride and said, "This is the issue that I've dealt with. And I've watched him grow, Pastor Rita. And I watched him come down front and pray and his family around him. I've had church members around him. And God is moving in his life. And now he has a new job. And he's standing down here at the altar this morning with his hands toward heaven because he knows where his blessing has come from. And I don't know what pride may be keeping you back, held captive in life. But if you'll just surrender, go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise for what he's doing in that young man's life. Pride is a boulder. How about a picture there? You got a picture? Pride is a boulder on the highway of life. And I don't want people to stay on this side of that boulder. Last week, failure. This week, pride. Next week, I've got another direction God is leading me. But you got to get past these things in your life. And it doesn't only affect you, it affects everybody that is around you. That's the truth. Have you ever heard people say, "I'm not hurting anyone but myself"? That's a lie. That's a lie, because you're hurting everybody around you. Pride is a boulder in the road on the journey to freedom. And the size of that boulder differs with each one of us. Some of us may be prideful in other areas than others, but let's go forward. To go forward, God has got to empower us through the Holy Spirit, and we've got to be convicted that we have this area in our life that we need to deal with. In John 8:36, it said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be freed indeed." So pride is a heavy stone. It really is. Have you ever met someone you like to buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth? Just thought I'd throw that out there at you. In case you missed it, have you ever met somebody you like to buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth? Huh? All right, look at your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, he better move on from that." So pride is a heavy stone, and just symbolic, I'm going to give you three shoves that I think that will help us all to shove this boulder of pride out of our lives. The first shove would be view pride as a vicious enemy. You hear me? View pride as a vicious enemy. It'll destroy you. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 quotes God as saying, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." God says, I hate pride and I hate arrogance. The more a person respects and fears God, the more he or she will hate evil. The more you don't want to be around it. Yeah. You don't. You feel like a fish out of water. You're not comfortable. I can remember when I'd cuss the hat off of a sailor, you know, or something like whatever that saying was. But now I can't stand to hear it, you know. Can't stand to hear people use God's name in vain. So love for God and love for sin, both love for God and love for sin cannot coexist. Proverbs 11 chapter 2 proclaims, listen to this, serious. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. So it says, with pride comes disgrace. With humility comes wisdom. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 in the NIV, where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Pride only breeds quarrel, arguing all the time. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Look at your neighbor one more time. Say, "Neighbor, are you a know-it-all?" Look at your other neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I better not say anything else." Verse 10, it's teaching us. I love that stuff. Can you say I was wrong? Did you hear that? Some smart aleck said you were wrong. Listen, I got the microphone, Linda, and you can't outsmart a smart aleck. I went to high school with you. I can unload right now if you want me to. All right? Praise the Lord. Let's move on. So I'll say it again. Can you say I was wrong? Leanne and I on May 2nd will be celebrating 26 years of she's had 26 years of tremendous life with me. And it's been the best of my life. I love her with all of my heart. And we do not argue. We do not fight. People don't believe that. But even when we disagree, and then we find out who's right, and most of the time it's her that she's right. But we always will say, "I'm waiting." And one of us will say, "I was wrong." And we laugh about it, kiss, and going down the highway. So can you say I was wrong? Here's another form of pride. Can you say I need help? Wow. We all need help from time to time. Can you honestly? You just want to sit and remain in your marriage when you know there's problems? Or could you say, hey, pastor, I need help. And we could help you. Wow. Got quiet in here real quick. Pride is an ingredient. It's not a good ingredient. It causes problems. Pride divides people. Humility, by contrast, heals people. If you find yourself constantly arguing with someone, maybe you ought to examine yourself for pride. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit. You know, proud people take little account of their weakness, and they don't anticipate stumbling blocks. But God will stumble you. He'll put a block in front of you. Proud people seldom realize that they have a pride problem. So if we really want the truth, why don't we all seek somebody today that we trust and ask them, you see pride in my life? Stand with me. All right. The only thing that means I'm getting a little nervous. So let's look at this. God hates pride, right? It brings disgrace, it breeds quarrel, and it points us to destruction. Obadiah in chapter 1, verse 3 kind of caps it off. The pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, there will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. The Edomites right here, they felt very self-sufficient and self-secure, but they were wrong, and they were fooling themselves, because there's no lasting security apart from God. So the first shove to move is the obstacle of pride. View it as a vicious enemy as it is. The second shove, and I'll be quick. View humility as a friend. How many flies off the handle real quick? I'm going to ask you again. How many flies off the handle real quick? Okay. I'm glad I got the mic and you don't. Often our society, it looks on biblical humility as a sign of weakness. It's not. Nothing could be further than from the truth. Being filled with pride is easy. It comes naturally. You don't have to teach somebody that. Humility is very difficult. And it takes a supply of supernatural strength that's given to you by the Holy Spirit. And it comes to a place where we got to admit our weaknesses. I was talking to a young man on the phone yesterday, and I asked him what his strengths were in life, and he gave me two real quick. And I said, so what's your greatest weaknesses? He said, Pastor, we could talk all day. And I like that, because I'm the same way. We could talk all day. Isaiah 66 and 2, for all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man I will look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Wow. Some translations say, this is the one I esteem, the one that has humility. Esteem basically means to have respect. Can you imagine God is saying to this one that is humble, I have respect. Can you imagine that, Crystal? To be respected by God. Wow. So to remove the obstacle of pride, we got to view it as a bitter enemy and view humility as a friend. The last one. James chapter 4, verse 10. What is the third shove we need? We need humbling. We need to humble ourselves before God every day. Every day. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humbling ourselves means recognizing that our value comes from God, from our God, not from ourselves. It's leaning into his power and his guidance. One time, I kind of struggled whether I should share this or not, but I'm going to share it. One time, many years ago, I don't know, I'm guessing 25 years ago, we rented two or three vans, and we loaded people up, and we went to another state to a revival of a mega church, and we stood in line outside for an hour or longer. They finally opened the doors, and thousands of people, and we went in, and when we walked in, and maybe you don't feel this way, but when we walked in, there was life-size pictures of the pastor everywhere. And the place was packed. I mean, it was just everywhere. And the pastor stood up and said, if you're here tonight and need a healing, and you'll get in this line and you'll give $1,000 or more, I'll pray for you for your healing. And I never forget, I looked down the row that when I was a young pastor, and I looked down the row that we were sitting on, and I said, listen, nobody really knows my name. But if you want prayer, I'll lay hands on you and pray out in the parking lot because I'm leaving. If you all want to stay here, you all stay here. I know who I am. And I'm a sinner saved by grace. You hear me? I'm a sinner. No, don't applaud. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I've had obstacles, and I still have obstacles. And it's by God's grace that I'm going to overcome them obstacles in my life. And we're going to grow as a church. We're going to grow as a family. But quit trying to hide your obstacles from God, because God never sleeps nor slumbers, and God knows exactly what you're dealing with. So get over your pride and say, God, here I am. I'm hurt. I'm undone. I'm broken. I've been scarred as a child, whatever. And bring it to God and watch God change your life. Listen to 1 Peter 5 and 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In due time. The example that God gave me in my office this morning, that I said it really wasn't much, but I think it is. This is my little funeral book that I use at the cemetery. And I'll use my name in it today instead of using somebody else's. But I stand there at a casket three times this week at a cemetery, and the body's in the casket. It's about to be lowered into the ground where we came from. So I'll use my name. This is what I say during a committal. Robert is not here. He stands in the presence of the Lord who said to one dying on a cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What lies before us is but the earthly tabernacle, the house in which he lived among us for a time. Tenderly and reverently we commit that house to the grave. The body returns to the earth from which it came, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That's what we are. So why we got so much pride? I got to make you laugh now. It's been serious. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look like a dirtbag. The hardest thing we got to get over is ourselves. Got to get over ourselves. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Be honest with me this morning, everyone in the house. Did the Holy Spirit prick at your heart today? Is there some pride in your life? Slip your hand up and say, God's speaking to me. Every hand in the house ought to go up. It's easy. Go ahead. Every head up, every eye open. It's easy to examine other people's hearts. What's the Bible say? Something like, you know, we're looking at the speck of dust and somebody dirt in somebody else's eye, and we got a beam in our own. It's so easy for me to point out somebody else's faults. But let's take a look at our own. All right. I ask you to examine your hearts today. And I believe one of the things that keep many people from surrendering and giving their life to God is pride. And the majority of people come to Christ when there's a storm in their life. So whether there's a storm in your life today or not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. The greatest thing you can ever do is humble yourself and say, God, I'm a sinner, and ask God to forgive you of your sins. Right where you're at today, no one coming to you, I will not single you out. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, you'd like to ask God to forgive you of your sins, you'd like for your name to be written down in heaven, you'd like to be able to walk through the rest of the journey of your life with the direction of God, would you slip your hand up high and say this morning, Pastor, I want to give my life to Christ. Right where you're at, is there one today? Is there one? I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. I don't want you young ladies. You're definitely at the age of accountability, and you understand that God loves you and cares for you. And I want to encourage you to learn and to walk with God. Get involved in a youth group. You're welcome here. And watch God do great things in your life. Follow His direction. Don't follow the world. Don't worry about pleasing the world. Worry about pleasing God. Would you pray this prayer with me and mean it from the bottom of your heart? Just say, Lord Jesus, today I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me. And Lord, from this day forward, I do my best to live my life for you. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Let's welcome those ladies to the kingdom of God.
Thank you for listening to the Jewel City Podcast. You can join us in person Sundays at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. We have something for all people and all ages. Or join our live stream at 10 a.m.